Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Steve recovering from a tragic Botox accident that took place after the Academy Awards. You should see his right eye. It looks like, Dave, you've seen this in covering sports. It looks like someone threw a baseball at his right eye and it got stuck there.
Yes.
That's exactly what it looks like.
It actually looked like he got hit by a puck.
Yeah, exactly right. But just in his right eye, that's the magic of Botox. And Steve likes to do that when he goes to the Academy Awards.
Right, the needle slipped. It just was supposed to be a little higher than that.
Yeah, they're only supposed to put a little in. And Steve kept saying, more, I want more.
He said, I want the Meg Ryan look.
Also known as the Jack Nicholson from the Batman movie Joker look. It's Dean Richards filling in for Steve throughout the full morning today instead of just the 1.5 hour that we normally do after 8 o'clock. We've got a great show. We've got a lot of stuff today. I'm super excited that Bryan Adams is going to be here.
How cool is that?
Today. It's a legendary rocker. He's written the music for a new musical that is world premiering here in Chicago before it goes to Broadway, Pretty Woman, the musical. And not Pretty Woman like the Roy Orbison song, but Pretty Woman like the Julia Roberts, Richard Gere movie, one of the greatest romantic comedies of all time, in my opinion. Also, Jerry Mitchell, who is the director of the movie, a Tony Award winner, huge big deal in theater circles. So those guys are going to be here a little later on in the 9 o'clock hour, which will also be on CLTV. And we've got a whole bunch of other guests and lots of other fun coming up. But we start off, as always, with the 6 at 6.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top 6 at 6, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
And we start off with number 6 today. Demolition of Lakeview buildings will begin this week for a controversial CTA flyover project. The CTA this week will start knocking down buildings in the Lakeview neighborhood to make way for the controversial flyover and elevated bypass that agency officials say will cut down delays along a congested stretch of the public transit on the north side. I don't know if I can take any more of these buildings on the north side, and especially around Wrigley Field, being demolished. Great. You know, all for gentrification.
Sure.
It's completely throwing me off.
Oh, completely. 14 buildings, Dean, that they want to start bulldozing before the Cubs home opener. So that's about a month away. So if you ever take it in the red or the brown or the purple lines right by that Belmont station, they're going to try and remove some of that congestion by this with this flyover project. But as you say, what do they say? It's going to get worse before it gets better as the congestion goes?
I think the congestion's part of the charm of that neighborhood.
Yeah, right.
When you go into that neighborhood, you expect to take 3 hours to get about 4 blocks.
Exactly, yeah.
It's just part of the whole deal. I hadn't driven by Wrigley Field in a long time. I can't believe every time I go by there how the complete facelift that neighborhood has gone through, where the 7-Eleven used to be is now a big, huge building. I have no idea. Is that going to be the theater? And it looks like it's going to be some kind of shopping complex there, and I know a theater is going somewhere there.
Right.
I'm not 100% sure.
And the new hotel is about to open.
It looks like it's
Clark
almost
Street.
Almost ready.
Mm-hmm.
Is that supposed to be ready for opening day, the hotel?
That was the plan,
I think they're taking reservations.
Yeah, right.
It looks like Disneyland.
It'll be on the top floor.
It looks like Main Street USA and Disneyland.
Yeah, it does.
Now when you go down Addison and Clark in that whole neighborhood. Let's move on to number 5.
That's our morning show duck.
Is that the
that's the duck.
That's the thing that separates the story?
Yes.
The duck?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I thought that was me. I did have some chili last night, but that was unintended. So the reason Jen is wearing her Loop t-shirt, the radio station Loop t-shirt, because as we've been telling you, the legendary radio station, WLUP 97.9, is going to be switching formats to Christian music on Saturday after the sale is completed. Now, I thought I read in Rob Feeder yesterday, robertfeeder.com, that the rock music ended yesterday. I haven't listened. because I only listen to WGN.
So all of
when I like to listen to Highway to Hell, I tune to 720.
Especially those overnight hours.
Yeah, man.
So all of the talent stopped yesterday, and they're in automation through Saturday.
Oh, so they're still playing the rock.
Yeah, but even though people were there, and it sounds like some of the talent has been kept maybe for some of the other stations that Cumulus owns, because we don't know fully like who all's been laid off in this. But yeah, Mancow.
This is getting very inside radio.
I know.
Sorry, Mancow.
Cumulus.
Said his goodbye.
How Cumulus in this.
How Cumulus in.
Cumulus
that's
is
the parent company.
That's the parent company that is doesn't own the station, right. But operates it.
Correct. For the non-nerdy people out there.
Yeah. That's a shame. I feel, mm-hmm. I guess like most of Chicago, I haven't listened to Loop in a very long time.
Right.
In like maybe a decade. And that's the way radio goes. If you don't have ratings, they change.
That's right.
That's just the way it goes. But it's just sad because, you know what, I was thinking about this. It's like a friend that you've known for 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
You knew the personalities. You knew the music. You know, a lot of people, that was the station they grew up with. That was
sure.
It's the soundtrack of their youth. And now it's, you know, it's like an old friend that's moving to another town.
Right. A lot of people have made stops at the Loop, too. A lot of the DJs and hosts throughout
right.
this town have evolved.
Bill and Wendy. Bill
yeah.
and Wendy.
There you go.
Bill and Wendy
sure,
were
Pete.
Part of them.
Mm-hmm.
How did I never work there?
How did you never work
I've
there?
I've worked almost everywhere. How did I never wind up there?
You were at Casa del Smooth for a while.
I was.
Well, you have 4 days, Dean.
I had had my lobotomy and went to play smooth jazz.
That's right.
That's what it was. Let's go to number four. That still cracks me up. Wow, more shuffling in the Trump administration as Gary Cohn, Trump's top economic advisor, resigns amid the tariffs dispute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know a whole lot about this,
yeah.
but apparently just from my simple knowledge of this, Gary Cohn advised the president to not do the tariffs.
Correct. He's a former Goldman Sachs president
yeah.
and was strongly opposed
right.
to these tariffs. And
so,
remember.
So you listen to your, you know, the advisor, you know, your very well acclaimed advisor
right.
tells you to do something and then you do exactly the opposite of what he says.
And then you say you're fired. Well, I'm sorry. He stepped down.
Gary Cohn said,
resigned.
You're
yeah.
not going to pay attention to my advice. I'm going to walk.
I'm out. Remember last week, President Trump wanted to impose those stiff tariffs on steel and aluminum imports. So we'll see what happens.
And his departure is probably going to fuel a 300-point loss on Wall Street at the open.
Oh,
so
wow.
So start buying. Come on, everybody out there, start buying.
Buy. Which is related to our number three story. Porn star.
I love you start that.
Wally Phillips would have never uttered those words on WGN,
no.
ever.
No.
Porn star Stormy Daniels is suing the president, saying that the hush agreement that they allegedly went into is null because he never actually signed the document.
Don't you hate when that happens? When an adult film star...
Right. When you have an affair with somebody and you sign an agreement and you pay...
Oh, but
apparently
you forget to
money,
sign it.
Allegedly. This is all allegedly.
Right.
I don't even know if any of this is true.
And just the words, porn star, president, hush agreement.
That should tell you really everything
right.
you need to know
that's
about this
are.
Story.
And the best part, this is number four on the top 6 at 6.
Right, right. Well, actually, number three, because here's right. here's number two.
Okay.
Mattel has introduced dolls in two separate series of Barbies. There is now the Barbie Inspiring Women, based on historical figures like Amelia Earhart, Frida Kahlo, and Katherine Johnson. And the second line is called the Shiro line of dolls, named for inspirational contemporary women like Chloe Kim and Wonder Woman director Patty Jenkins.
How cool is that?
I think isn't this taking a little page?
I love it.
From American Girl, where they're dolls, they're characters.
Yes.
Your Josefinas, your Mollies. Trying to remember the others. All my nieces are grown out of the American Girl phase, but I used to be pretty much a regular at the American Girl store. But it's the same deal where there you got a little bit of education,
yeah,
story and culture along with your Barbie dolls, more than look, there's the Malibu Dream House.
Right. I think it's very cool because think about it. I mean, guys had G.I. Joe and Superman and Batman. Now girls will have dolls of their role models too.
Yeah, yeah, that's very
neat.
Very nice. Josefina.
Listen, I'm surprised you knew the two.
Josefina's the only one that I remember.
You said Molly.
I remember Molly.
Yeah.
Was one of them called Stormy?
Dave, was one called Stormy?
I think so, yes.
You had a, only because you had a daughter. That's why I'm saying
I have
saying
a daughter,
it.
But yeah.
You sure. never got into the American Girl web?
Never did. And she, quite frankly, never really got into the...
Really?
So, yeah.
Oh, my nieces were so into it.
Yeah.
I would go in there, and I must have looked like a deer in headlights. When I walked in there, the clerks would come up to me and like hold my hand. Oh, sir, can I help you? They're right. Like, you know, like I was lost in the woods for 2 years. They come and help you and, you know, sell you stuff that's unbelievably priced.
Wouldn't it be great if they had walked up to you and said, aren't you Dean Richards?
That may have happened. May have happened. But, the, you know, my nieces loved it.
That's
so
cute.
I didn't mind spending $9,000 in one purchase.
Per doll.
Finally, number one, the Chicago Bulls escape potential fine by agreeing to play starters more minutes. Before the season, the Board of Governors voted to allow Commissioner Adam Silver to fine teams who sit healthy players for high-profile nationally televised games or rest multiple healthy players for any game and any healthy player for road games. Dave, I'm going to defer this all right over to you.
Well, there are a couple of issues at play here, but basically the NBA's had a problem in the last few years with some of the high-profile teams giving their star players games off during the season to give them rest. San Antonio did it. I mean, talking about superstars here, but there's also this... the idea of tanking, which is lose as often as possible so you get a better chance at the number one pick in the NBA draft lottery. Right now, the Bulls have the, I think there are seven teams ahead of them, or if you prefer, below them for the worst record in the NBA and the better chance of getting that pick. So the more games they lose, if you look at it from the standpoint of, it almost benefits a team to lose more games right down the stretch because they get a better shot at that number one pick. But the NBA has warned teams that this so-called tanking
right
is not going to be permitted. The Bulls have been sitting Robin Lopez and Justin Holiday since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And now, after what John Paxson calls productive and cooperative dialogue, the Bulls are going to start playing both those guys again. So,
Andre, I'll give you $1,000 if you can repeat that back in a two-sentence summary.
I heard that.
Dave, I'm going to toss this over to you for the full explanation. And then I was like, God, what do I need to buy at the store today? No, I think it's super cool.
Here's what Andre heard. Really blah, 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 blah.
Blah, blah, Bulls. Blah, 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 blah. Regulation. Blah, blah, blah.
What a delightful treat. I turned on WGN radio yesterday, and I'm hearing baseball.
Oh.
It makes me feel good. It makes
it does.
It's a nice... it's like a nice, it's like a sunny day.
Yeah.
No matter what's going on
it's
outside.
It's like a quick jumping on a plane to Arizona, just like that.
Yeah,
here
okay.
And there.
All right. Yeah.
Transporting you to the desert.
I'll go with that. And Dave's apparently had a few more drinks than I have. But
well, yeah, I guess it does sound that way, doesn't it?
That's called Wednesday.
We can go. Here. We can go for that. I'm 100% for that. Did anyone watch The Bachelor last night?
I missed it.
I don't watch that. Mary is normally our Bachelor expert, right?
Okay. Yeah. It was on in the room. So
what Dave heard was blah 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 blah.
Yes, it was a lot of me trying to explain the NBA tanking.
Right.
Let's spend some time together. Blah 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 blah.
You did see it, Jen?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Don't give the details away because I want to talk about this. But also, let me bring some folks in on the phones. Also, if you saw The Bachelor, you want to comment 312-981-7200, knowing that most of us here have absolutely no idea what you're talking about.
No.
Want to remind everybody that this coming Sunday, I'm going to be doing my Sunday radio show from Presidential Towers for the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb. It's presented by United Healthcare. We'll be doing the radio show, and I always point this out every year. Our WGN team will be doing all of the towers, I believe, while I sit my fat butt in a chair for 2 hours and really do nothing, which arguably is more difficult.
I think so. And props to you, too, because I know every year you want to do it, and the bosses at radio and TV say, Dean, you need to take one for the team and do the show.
Anyone can climb up four towers of stairs. We need someone with skill and precision
to be on the air,
to sit in one place and do virtually nothing for 2 hours. So,
I mean, I'm a team guy. I'll come sit next to you instead of climbing the four towers, if you like.
You're sort of the leader of the team.
Yeah,
here, Dave.
You're the
well,
captain.
One of them, Patty. also.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, but I'll stop by and see you afterwards when I'm all sweaty.
Oh, thank you. That is something I look forward to every year. All my WGN colleagues coming
Hi,
back.
Dean.
Yeah, smell like, having our broadcast area smell like a locker room.
How about a hug?
You can register or pledge online at WGNradio.com/events. Fightforairclimb.org for more info, and we'll update news next on WGN. It's 6:43 on 720 WGN. Is this the Bachelor music?
I've never seen it. So
I have never seen
it. Confirm or deny.
It sounds like this is, if I was going to give a rose to somebody, this is the music I would want to be playing in the background. It sounds very Bachelor-y to me. I have never seen an episode in my life. Andrea, you have you ever seen it?
I have seen it when I'm flipping channels.
Oh, okay.
And I'll stay on it and I think, oh my God, what are these girls? Why are they doing this to themselves?
All right. Dave is a big fan of the show.
A big fan.
Dave's a huge fan of the show.
Actually, so my wife was watching last night. I was following the Blackhawks game, but I was in the room.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So you think the Bachelor scored a slap shot on somebody? You got.
I think people were ready to punch each other out on that show,
yeah.
From what I
can
tell.
Turns out The Bachelor is more violent than a hockey game.
I think so.
Right. Now, Mary, did you see it, Mary?
I did see part of it, and I only have interest in it because when I worked at B96, Ari came in because he was a contestant on The Bachelorette.
Oh.
And he was very controversial then because he rubs women the wrong way, apparently, but that just attracts another group of women, so...
So what?
He's not looking so good, Jen.
So Jen, you were like into it last night. So you're our resident expert on this.
I get sucked into every season. I say I'm not going to watch it, and then I just get sucked right in. And yeah, I stayed up late to watch it.
So what happened?
So well,
Joe, can we get that music back again if that's possible?
Can I ask one question?
I think it adds a lot as we're getting plot point details.
As someone who's never seen it, I just want a little bit of quick background.
Yeah.
Do all of the women end up sleeping with the Bachelor?
Yeah,
at different times.
Yeah,
maybe like I'd say five near the
five
end.
Of the
disgusting
10.
Yeah,
disgusting.
Yeah,
3 to 5.
Isn't that kind of hoey?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, it starts out with about 26 women.
Ah, okay.
And then they get to kiss all of them.
Yeah, kids, for the kids
wow.
going to school. Today's
okay.
word, your vocabulary word of the day is hoey.
Sleazy,
ask teacher what
say.
It means when you get to school today.
Okay,
don't.
Back to you girls. Back to the segment already in progress.
All right, so you start out with, I believe, 26 women, and they're all vying for the heart of one gentleman.
Yes.
And week by week, they get picked off.
Right.
There's roses, but not enough for these women. So when it comes to Ari, yes, as Mary said, he was a contestant like 5 years back, going for Emily Maynard, a single mother of one whose husband died in a racing car accident, and he's a race car driver, and this was his chance for love. Well, he blew it again, in my eyes, but he ended up making it through the whole season, had
right.
two women left, Becca and Lauren.
Did he get picked? Do they pick who the winner is last night?
Well, on Monday, he picked Becca.
Got engaged.
Yep.
Becca.
Very pretty ring.
So what's the deal? Now, why is everybody talking about last night's episode?
Well, he spent about a month and a half with Becca and then decided he didn't want her. He wanted the other
girl. Well, because, you know, they have the secret rendezvous until mm-hmm. the finale comes out.
Of course they do.
Yeah. And so he had cameras at one of the secret rendezvous.
Yeah.
To let her know, hey, you know what, I've changed my mind. So it was filmed.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So they filmed the painful discussion, and a lot of things on social media were pretty funny, saying he's like the guy that cheats on you and then won't leave until you tell him it's okay. Like, he told her, I'm breaking up with you, but then he wouldn't leave.
So
for
he's
like
a cheater,
minutes.
But he's needy.
Yes. He wanted her to
worst.
Say, hey, it's okay, follow your heart.
I need about 10 Excedrin right now.
Wait, I got some answers. Hold on.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Now
so,
I know I would never watch this.
That was on Monday, and then last night we saw how he went to the other girl's house. But here's the kicker.
Lauren?
Yeah, he called Lauren before he broke up with Becca to make sure she would still be available.
I'm just going to run out to the car for a minute.
Grab me
hey,
a latte.
If I break off my engagement, will you consider dating me again?
Yeah. I'm going to be out of Michigan Avenue hoping a cab hits me. that's okay. Let's take...
Buses are quicker.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
It is 6:52, and this is Dean Richards filling in today for Steve Cochran. Normally, at this time, I would be on WGN TV Morning News, where we'll be joining in just a minute to talk with Larry Potash and Robin Baumgarten, where I do my entertainment segments, much like I do with you guys.
Yeah,
here.
In the 8 o'clock hour.
Right.
Yeah.
Only I have only like 30 seconds to talk on TV. But we're going to be joining. Here they come right now, as a matter of fact.
Well, Dean is filling in for Steve Cochran this morning.
Yes.
He's at WGN Radio. How are you, Deaner?
I'm doing very well. I heard that you didn't even know that I wasn't in the building this morning.
Like, I looked over, I'm like, where is he? Not there.
They came in here, like, shocked, like, they didn't even know that you weren't here. It's like, well, I don't even see them until I walk out there.
That's right.
So it's not all that unusual. Yeah, I'm filling in for Steve Cochran today on WGN Radio all the way until 10 o'clock today. But we still have your entertainment buzz. And our first and top story in entertainment today is rocker Tommy Lee. The 55-year-old rocker was taken to the hospital after he got into a fight with his 21-year-old son. Brandon Lee is the son of Pamela Anderson and Tommy Lee. L.A. County Sheriff's officers there responded to Lee's home in Calabasas on Monday night. Lee is claiming that Brandon came into his bedroom, assaulted him. Lee is now posting a now-deleted picture on social media showing him with a bloody nose. Brandon is reportedly cooperating with authorities, but he's not been arrested. A much nicer story about parent and child, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, thanking paramedics and doctors at UCLA Medical Center for helping his two-year-old daughter, Jasmine, who he took to the emergency room on Saturday night. It's not known what happened to the little girl, but it was serious enough that he needed immediate instructions to help her. Johnson said they spent the night at the emergency room. She's okay, and he is thanking the first responders there. On my Dean's List A-list for today, more of the stars of the new Disney fantasy, A Wrinkle in Time, an adventure about kids who go off on a celestial search for their missing father. The movie's being pitched as one that empowers young people to take matter into their own hands. Co-star Chris Pine, when we sat down and talked with him, said it was something that reminded him of events in Florida that are in the news.
I thought it was so cool, you know, especially after the awful shooting that happened in Florida. These kids just, I love it. They've walked out all over the country. Mm. And I've read some headline like teachers threatening to discipline students for walking out. You're like, what effing planet are you on? Discipline you for what?
Right.
There's a shooting in a school. We can talk about algebra later.
A Wrinkle in Time will open on Friday, and I'm going to give you the full review on that. And we have got a WGN Morning News Movie Club giveaway today, not only for our TV morning viewers, but since I'm on WGN Radio this morning, WGN Radios can get in on this too. So we give away 5 pair of tickets to the pre-screening of Tomb Raider, now starring Alicia Vikander. This is going to be on Tuesday, March 13th, 7 p.m. at a theater in the city to be announced to winners later on. To enter, just go to WGNTV.com/contests, WGNTV.com/contests, and we will pick 5 winners today at 1 o'clock. So we'll have some more entertainment headlines for WGN Television. We'll have more on all of these stories coming up here on WGN Radio, guys, as well.
All right. Thanks, Deaner.
All right. There's Larry and Robin this morning. They are on TV, and we're here on radio. Should I be insulted that they didn't even know that I wasn't there?
You know, maybe a little bit. Just a little bit. Just a percent.
I don't see them. We all, you know, drag ourselves in. We're all, you know, half asleep when we walk in.
I tell you, when I'd be insulted if they didn't know the next time that you talked with them that you're filling in today.
If they have no recollection that we spoke already.
That's when I'd start to worry a little bit.
Because they go to their offices and I go to my, you know, and we're like, no, we didn't. We're nowhere near each other.
Are your offices by each other?
Not really.
No. Okay, so then they wouldn't know.
Yeah. Not at all.
Again, now they know.
That's
hopefully
how I'm keeping it in my mind.
There are some days we don't know Steve is here.
Oh, that's true.
Well, that's
true.
That's only because sometimes he's not. Correct. When he is.
Yes.
Okay, let's take a break. When we come back, we've got Karen Conti coming up in our next hour and talk about some legal stuff today. Very excited. Brian Adams joining us live in studio today. The legendary rocker about to open a brand new musical here in Chicago. He's going to join us coming up later on. What am I throwing? Am I going to a commercial or am I throwing to a break? Yes.
Take a break?
Oh, look, we'll be right back after this on WGN. Grammy Hall of Fame announced three new inductees. I couldn't be more delighted.
Whoop-de-doo!
Neil Diamond is going to be inducted this year.
Cracklin' Rose, get on board.
We all have one mystical thing in common, our love for Neil.
The group Queen.
I think we'll go with a little Bohemian Rhapsody, gentlemen.
Good call.
Easy come, easy go.
Will you let me go?
Scaramouche, Scaramouche.
Will you do the fandango? Thunderbolt and lightning, very, very frightening me.
I was trying to do any song but that. What's the third one?
Tina Turner.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
A lot more entertaining than I thought. When we do our little segment here with Steve every morning, me at the TV station and all you guys here, and that's a little sampling of it. I can see why people say that we're complete idiots.
No, you guys are highly entertaining, what I hear.
That's the number one reaction I get. You guys are insane.
Highly entertaining, very funny, and people for some reason love when you guys speak French. The language of love.
That's very true. That's very true. Maybe, well, I don't want to give it away right now. It's a little early in the day to bring out the romance.
Mm.
But maybe we'll bring out the language of love coming up later on.
I hope so.
It's Dean Richards filling in for Steve today. I guess Oprah was on Stephen Colbert last night. And she's got this new movie that's coming out, A Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah.
Which I saw and I'll review on Friday. Because I never give reviews.
You never ever do
before
that.
The opening days. That's mm-mm. That's not allowed.
Nope.
And with this movie, probably a good idea that I don't. But
right, because you don't want to give a review out ahead of time. Exactly.
Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink. But I wanted to. Apparently, Oprah was talking about running for president again on Colbert last night.
Was she talking about that again?
She was talking about it again. And let's just listen to a little of that conversation.
There are a lot of people out there would like to see you be president of the United States, or at least run to be president of the United States.
I feel humbled and honored by that. It just isn't something I would. I've said this before. I would know it. I mean, it would be, you know, everybody's saying it. I am very much in touch with my inner GPS, the voice. I'm in touch with God.
Yeah.
The voice of God.
Well, in fact, you said in People magazine, if I have this quote right, you said, if you think I'm supposed to run, you got to tell me. And it has to be so clear.
So clear. Even
that
I.
Not even I can miss it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
So have you had any signs at all?
Not one.
Really? Not even the people like tweeting or texting or the people cheering. None of that is a sign.
That's a different. You know, those are all people outside you. You know what that is. If 1,000 people tell you to do something, but you don't feel it inside yourself, or if 1,000 people say, "Oh, that looks good on you, girl," and you know it doesn't, or 10 people say it, you know it doesn't. So, no, I haven't.
Okay. Well, okay. I guess that settles it.
Yeah.
No Oprah.
Oprah, Stephen, what's up? Hey.
Oh, hey. Hey, God, it's God, everybody. Give it up for the Lord.
Hey, everybody. I just spit out my gum.
I'm sorry about this, Oprah. I apologize. God stops by every once in a while. He's a fan. Can I help you, Lord? I'm kind of in the middle of talking to somebody important.
Oh, I know, Stephen. I'm a huge fan.
That's great to hear. I'm a big fan of yours, too, God. I really am.
Wow. Oprah knows who I am? I can't wait to tell Jesus. I'm going to look so cool.
Now, God, I don't mean to hurry you along, but is there, you know, something you'd like to tell Oprah?
Oh, yeah. I hear thou seekest a sign. Well, is this clear enough?
Held up a sign that said run. an ongoing character on Colbert's show. They project on the ceiling, what the way God is depicted to a lot of people. He stops in and visits on Stephen Colbert's show once in a while. So I don't know if that's going to have an effect on Oprah Winfrey now, but that's the latest development on that. Yeah. 7:21, Steve Cochran Show, Dean Richards filling in today, and it's time for the Hawk a Riddle. We're going to get to that in a second here for a pair of tickets to see the Chicago Blackhawks play Boston this coming Sunday, March 11th. You'll also be entered to win four season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing. For all the right reasons, Four Seasons, find them online at FourSeasonsHeatingCooling.com. So, the question for today.
Dwight? The riddle.
Ready.
The riddle. Yes. The riddle for today.
These are tough.
He was born in... I shouldn't have said he.
Oh.
He or she.
No, I think I... No, it's later in the poem.
Okay. It's, the riddle?
Yes.
Or they also give away the gender.
The riddle.
Okay. Yes. Okay. All right. He was born in Chicago in 1956 to Northwestern, to law, Pepperdine, to politics. Amateur boxer, 6-2 with the gloves, and his only prison fight is now a prison ex... What?
This is going well.
See, it's a riddle.
Do you want us to read it?
Well, it's not exactly in sentence form.
Just to be like, it's like sing-song.
It's kind of poetic.
Yes.
Think of it that way.
Yes. Born in Chicago... Oh, okay. All right, I see. Born in Chicago in 56, Northwestern to law, Pepperdine to politics.
There you go.
An amateur boxer, 6-2, with the glove... His only fight now, a prison ex.
I think we got the idea. I think it was decent. Yeah. I give it a Dean's List.
I'm a big fan of punctuation. Periods, commas.
Not on this show.
Big fan of all those things. It helps the reading process enormously.
I think you got the main points
out. These are live shows. We don't rehearse them.
Clearly. I think that's more than obvious. Amy, somehow you made it through all of that.
Yes.
From where are you calling today, Amy?
From Mount Prospect.
Nice to have you here with us today. Did you enjoy my reading of the riddle?
It stumped me a little more than the riddle itself, Dean.
That's a great answer.
That's
wow.
Good.
Wow. Oh. She
that's meant constructively, Dean. Yeah.
Well, you read. Yes. You read it.
No.
How was it supposed to be read?
No, you got it right the second time.
The second time. Wait to hear the third time.
Born in Chicago in 56, comma. Northwestern to law, Pepperdine to politics.
There you go.
Comma. An amateur boxer, 6-2, with the glove... His only fight now, this is where I lose it. His only fight now, a prison exit, ex-governor.
Ex-gov.
He rides with glove.
Yeah.
Don't try
but
to justify
But overall, it. Again, just such a good effort.
Yes.
I thought.
Amy, who in the world could we possibly be talking about since most of our governors have gone to jail? Really, there's so many options.
It's sad. There are options.
Right. It's much easier to list the governors that have not gone to jail.
At this point, right.
Who would we be talking about?
Rod Blagojevich.
Rod Blagojevich is exactly
correct.
Very good,
Amy. Wow.
Yeah. Congratulations to you. And now I will attempt to read what the prize is one more time.
Yeah, in rhyme, by the way.
I'm going to wrap it, if you don't mind. A pair of tickets to see the Chicago Blackhawks against Boston this Sunday, March 11th. And then you'll be entered to win four-season tickets for next year, courtesy of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, and Plumbing.
So good.
Makes as much sense as what I did before.
You can do it as a haiku maybe next time.
For all the right reasons, Four Seasons. Find them online at Four Seasons Heating Cooling. Heatingcooling.com. So congratulations to you.
Thank you. Thank
Amy,
you so much.
I think it's safe to say that whatever happens to you for the rest of the day will go better than this did. Congratulations. And thank you so much for listening. We will take a break and be right back. 726 WGN.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
Which means that Karen Conti is here, who you hear Sunday nights on WGN. What is the exact time?
From 7 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Where you can get, you talk about legal issues, you talk about things going on in the news, people call in and ask questions. That's, basically the show.
That's it. I'm branching out a little bit and doing some non-legal things, which is fun. But mostly I deal with the topics of the day kind of from my legal standpoint.
Right. Before we get into this segment, we're getting some texts, and we just want to mention that we are aware, apparently, our signal, the WGN signal, the vast 50,000 watt clear channel signal, people are saying is going in and out.
Oh.
So we are, our engineers, we've woken them up, which they don't like.
No.
They do not like when we wake them up during a show.
When it's not their turn on the wheel to keep it spinning, they hate to be
right.
awake.
Every couple of hours, they change the hamster that's on the wheel that powers the transmitter.
Right.
But if you wake them up outside of that time, there's trouble. We are aware of it, and we're working to repair that.
Yes.
Oh, somebody just texted, it's better.
It's better.
It's better now.
It's better to hear us intermittently.
All right.
Thank you.
So whatever problems you hear in the future are really just us talking funny. We'll just go with that. So I want to start off, Karen, with the story that we've been talking about Stormy Daniels, the porn star who now is suing President Trump for, I'm not exactly even sure what you call it. They're claiming that there was a non-disclosure contract about an alleged affair that they had, that Stormy Daniels was paid, I think it was $130,000, and that they all signed off on the agreement. But now she is alleging, and I've actually seen the legal document. It was on TMZ where she signed it. Trump's lawyer signed it, but the president was not president then. Donald Trump himself did not sign this. So she's saying that it's not valid. We are the official station for porn star news. So what is...
And I'm the official lawyer for porn star contracts.
There you go.
All right. So all in luck today.
We've right. got all the experts on
adult film star. Maybe that would be nice.
So what's the...
This is what we would call it in Illinois a declaratory judgment case. So what she's trying to do is to have a judge declare that this contract is invalid, assuming that she probably wants to talk about the affair and probably make some money on it.
Alleged.
And so
that's funny when I have to give her legal language to use.
I'm a believer. But I think that it's interesting because when you don't sign a contract, that doesn't necessarily mean there wasn't a deal. And her lawyer signed it, as you said. So her representative can bind her and his representative can bind him. Also, she took the money. So once you have an oral agreement and then you take the money and you agree to something, even if there's not a signature on it, it can still be valid. So I don't know that she's going to win this one, but I think the strategy is not to win it. I think the strategy is to say, listen, I signed an agreement. He didn't sign an agreement. Come to the table. We have to talk, because she wants to talk about this affair.
Just that it adds more clarity to something which has been denied, that there was ever any agreement, that anything had ever happened. There is, on TMZ, I saw the actual agreement. There was a legal contract that was set up that she has to keep quiet about all this. So if she doesn't win it, she does win in the fact that people now know that there was a legal agreement between the two.
Well, right. And apparently from what we see, she's been sued by the Trump
people. And they've brought her into court in California for arbitration on this issue. So I think what she's trying to do is shed light on the fact that there really is an agreement and that he's putting pressure on her to shut her mouth and she doesn't want to have any of it. And so this is her way to say, judge, declare this invalid and let's, or come to the table and tell me why this isn't valid, Donald Trump, whose name was disguised in that contract.
Both names were disguised in the contract.
Yes. That, so
why would they have done that?
Well, I'm sure Donald, the whole point was to keep her quiet, but why her name wasn't involved, I don't know.
I forget what it was, but, you know, it lists the people who are part of this contract, and it says, what was Stormy Daniels' real name?
Stephanie Clifford,
yes. A.K.A. Whatever fake name they chose,
right.
And then Donald Trump, A.K.A. whatever fake name they gave him. If their real names are in the agreement anyway, why do you put the fake names on it?
Don't know. I have no idea. There must have been a negotiation going on here. The terms of this are very strange to me. The fact that there's a written contract, the fact that Trump did not sign it, the fact that Trump didn't pay the $120,000 or $130,000. His lawyer did, and his lawyer said he's never been reimbursed by Donald Trump. So what is this all about? I don't know. I just think that this is going to shed light on the fact that there was an affair. I don't think the Trump admirers really care, to tell you the truth. But I think it's important to see what happened here, and I just hope that there's not more of this, because again, the whole Russian thing, and I'm not going to get into the politics of it, but there's been allegations that maybe he did some other things and there was cover-ups and he's worried about that being exposed and is doing things that doesn't help, that don't help our government. So, you know, we'll see.
Would a judge see this case, though, and say, oh, well, clearly there was an agreement made here and person A didn't pay person B? Would a judge see that, Karen, and say, oh, you know what? You had a binding contract, whether you want to use, you know, the name Joe Schmo or Donald Trump or Stormy Daniels.
If I had the gavel here, I would find that agreement was binding.
Right.
I would, just because the money was paid, it was accepted, there were signatures, there was a meeting of the minds, and people think that oral contracts are not valid, but they are, and particularly when there is an action that, like the payment of money is an action that basically seals the deal. And if she didn't take the money, that would be a different thing. But she took the money and she acknowledged that she signed it. So.
I want to talk about this crazy media whirlwind that the Trump former aide Sam Nunberg went on, refusing to respond to a subpoena by Robert Mueller. We'll get to that in a minute. We've got some other legal stories to talk with Karen Conti about. 312-981-7200. Maybe we can squeeze in a call or two. 7:50, Dean Richards in for Steve Cochran this morning at WGN. Karen Conti is here with us, whose show you hear Sunday nights on WGN, talking legal issues, and this morning talking about some of the top legal headlines. This whole story about Sam Nunberg, the former aide to Donald Trump now, who went on a talk show rampage yesterday, say yesterday or the day before, on all the shows saying that he was going to refuse, that if he got a subpoena from Robert Mueller, that he was going to ignore it. First of all, I mean, I guess you have the option to do that as an American citizen, but you would go to jail if you ignored a legal subpoena, correct?
Right. A subpoena is issued by a court, and it has binding effect, and it is a legal requirement. It's not an optional deal, and you have to comply. So if you receive a subpoena for records, you have to turn over those records. If you have a subpoena to appear at a hearing or a deposition, you have to appear. If you don't, the judge can issue a bench warrant, which means they can come out and take you and arrest you and bring you to a lockup and bring you before the court until you agree to do what the subpoena says. Now, this happens not just in the Mueller and the Trump deal here. It happens every day. So if your listeners ever get a subpoena, sometimes they might be a witness, say, to a car accident. And so someone wants to subpoena them to get records or to get their testimony in a deposition or to trial, you have to comply. People think, I don't have to do this. I don't really feel like doing this. There's no choice. So this is just careless. This guy, I mean, his speech is one thing. It was all over the place. But the idea that he's flaunting this in front of Mueller, who has the power, like I said, to arrest him, is just stunning.
Yeah, very much so flaunting. But then flip-flopping later,
yes,
later
correct.
In the day, apparently somebody, maybe his own legal representation, somebody got to him and explained to him basically what you just said, and he changed his tune quite a bit, saying that he would comply if he was
subpoenaed. I guess I just don't understand how someone who's that high up in an administration doesn't understand that, or hasn't spoken to a lawyer, or hasn't just doesn't have an. You could just Google subpoena, and you understand what it means. I'm just stunned that he would talk like that.
If you're subpoenaed, can you plead the fifth? So if he's subpoenaed, he has to go before, you know, he has to give testimony, obviously.
Yes.
Can he plead the fifth?
Yes, he can. And he can plead executive privilege or whatever whatever defense he has. But not appearing is not an option.
The story that a lot of people have been asking me about, with my complete lack of legal knowledge, was something that Frances McDormand talked about during her acceptance speech at the Academy Awards Sunday night, where she was talking about empowering women and that more women have to come to the table of decision-making and movie-making and meet with the executives, and ended her speech with, I have two words for you, inclusion rider. And everybody turned to each other at that point and goes, what is an inclusion rider? What does that mean exactly? So I think that means that if you're a big high power star, you can put things into your contract, certain conditions that you want to exist during the term of your contract. Is that basically what inclusion rider is?
That's basically what it is. And it's the way that Hollywood can basically impose their views. I want, if I'm going to be in this movie, I want 50% of all the extras and 50% of all the minor characters to be African-American or be female or be basically make up the ethnic or the racial diversity that perhaps is in the movie or the area.
Whatever you want.
Depends.
I'm pushing for more left-handed people.
That's right. Exactly.
In motion pictures.
So you can put anything in a contract. And when you have these A-list actors, they have a lot of power. Because if you want that person to act in a movie, you're going to agree to that. Why wouldn't you agree to that? And sometimes it's good for the movie as well.
Yeah.
To have that diversity.
As we most certainly have found out this year with Wonder Woman and this movie that's going to be opening on Friday, A Wrinkle in Time, directed by Ava DuVernay. Oprah Winfrey's in it. Reese Witherspoon, Mindy Kaling is in it. Lots of female and minority representation in it. I don't know if any of that is contractual, that all of those people have to be there. But what Frances McDormand basically was saying was, if you are in a position of power, make sure that you're putting out a hand to help others who are trying to also get up the ladder.
And I think this all dovetails into the whole Me Too thing, because it is a common it's common knowledge that when it comes to harassment, especially in the workplace, that the more females you have in charge, the less harassment you're going to have, because women generally don't have those kinds of issues. That's not always the case. That goes both ways. But certainly you want women in power, and I think that's what she was saying, is that let's stand together and do something positive to make this issue go away.
One of the stories that came out earlier this week was that some donors for University of Chicago who had donated $100 million are suing to get their money back. Once you make a donation like that, is some legal precedent that you can stand by to get your donation if certain standards, I guess, or requirements were not met?
Very interesting. You're seeing more of these lawsuits. Generally speaking, once you give a gift, you can't give it back. So, Andre, I take off my watch and I say, happy birthday, take the watch. I don't have any recourse to get that back. There are laws in most states, though, that say that if there are stipulations attendant to your giving money, like I'm going to give you money from the hospital, but I want a water fountain with my name on it. And if they don't do that, I would have a right to get my money back. In this case, apparently, there were a bunch of things that allegedly the University of Chicago didn't do, in particular, keep the donors advised on how the money was being spent. And they are suing to get it back. It's $100 million. I think it's the second largest donation ever to the University of Chicago. And it just seems to me that a person who gives that much money has a right to have those stipulations followed. And in this case, there was a written agreement that basically outlined what the university was supposed to do. So they could win on it.
Boy, that's interesting.
But you would think that the University of Chicago would
really just say, okay, all right, I'll keep you up to speed. Sure, you know, right. I don't want to give this money back. I'll do
you want that drinking fountain? You can
yes,
have it.
Exactly.
That seems like
that's
such
what usually
a minor
happens.
Thing.
Yeah.
Usually they put their donors, you know, and so I don't know what happened here. And usually there's more conversation here before there's a lawsuit. So I really don't know. We'll see in the litigation or if it settles.
Do people ask you legal questions every single place you go?
Pretty much.
You pull up at the McDonald's drive-thru.
Right.
Yeah, like
County.
A quarter pounder and a Coke. And also, my wife is...
just got in a car accident.
Right.
But you know what?
What are the most... My point, I guess, is like, what is there a question that you hear more often than any other?
I hear a lot of people talk to me about current events. So they'll ask me about the Trump issue and what's going to happen with him and what has to be proven and all those kinds of things. But I get a lot of questions about personal injury cases. Some, you know, what happens and should I get a lawyer? Do I need a lawyer? I was in a fender bender. How do I get my deductible paid? Things like that. But, you know, I really like when people ask me those questions. I never mind that because I feel like if someone comes to me and they want advice and I can help them, I know it sounds trite, but I really like to help people. And if it's just 3 minutes out of my time, my day, I like that.
Yeah.
I finally have something I can impart to somebody.
So when Dean pulled into the parking lot today, he bumped my car.
No. Yeah. There may be a lawsuit because I'm pretty sure I'm in the wrong parking space.
Right.
In our parking today, I seem to have set off a whole chain of events out there because of that. You can hear Karen's show Sunday nights, 7 o'clock, right here on WGN. You can also get more information at kcontilaw.com. kcontilaw.com. Always wonderful to see you,
Great
Karen.
To see you, Dean. Great to see everyone here.
You too, Karen.
Thanks right. so
Have
much.
A great day.
We're going to check news. Still coming up later on this morning, an in-studio visit from rock legend, whose name is escaping
Bryan
me.
Adams.
Bryan Adams.
Yes. Can't wait.
Bryan Adams is going to be here.
He's got a new musical.
Along with Jerry Mitchell, who is the director of this new musical. I'm going to try not to forget his name when he gets here. Coming up later, WGN.
All of us. Online.
WGN.
On demand.
WGNradio.com.
On demand.
Rain makes corn. Corn makes whiskey. Whiskey makes my baby feel a little frisky.
Dean Richards. For Steve Cochran today. As we mentioned earlier, Steve is off this week. Some unfortunate
Botox
accident. I don't want to give too many details away. He went to the Academy Awards, got drunk on the Botox. And right now his head looks like a Volkswagen, mm-hmm. a small Volkswagen. So hopefully he'll be back later on this week. In the meantime, some of us are here trying to fill in. The reason why we played the Luke Bryan music, just announced a few minutes ago, he's coming to Wrigley Field.
Ooh,
how about this?
It's
going to
be a great show.
That's my favorite song, by the way, Dean, that you just played. I love that.
Yeah, it's a good one. He's going to be there Saturday, September 1st. Going to be there with John Party and Carly Pierce. It's going to be and Sam Hunt also. Tickets are going to go on sale Friday, March the 16th at 10 a.m.
Who's going with me, guys? Who's going?
I saw him at Miller Park in Milwaukee, I think 2 years ago. A great show.
Yeah, I've never seen him in person, but I'll bet.
Really good.
I'll bet. And at Wrigley Field. Always a great concert experience.
Oh, God. Seeing a concert at Wrigley is fantastic.
I couldn't agree with you more. We're going to have, normally we do my showbiz report here with Steve, and we're going to do that in our next half hour, because I want to tell you about something that's going on in the Chicago area over the next couple of days. If you're a Lord of the Rings fan, there is some screenings of the trilogy, Fellowship of the Ring, Two Towers, and Return of the King. But you'll be able to not only see the movies, but have dinner that is synced up with the movies, foods that are part of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And Pete Faulkner is the general manager of Thalia Hall here in Chicago. Pete, thanks for joining us. This is such a great idea.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So explain how this is going to work And I'm so curious to find out what kinds of foods that you're going to be serving. While these movies were magnificent, appetizing is never a word that came into my mind watching the Lord of the Rings movies.
Yeah, so we actually host a monthly a movie night anyways. We call it TH Cinema. We have a state-of-the-art, projector and a 25-foot screen. And actually, part of the history of the building is that at a certain point towards the 50s, early 60s, it actually was a movie house before it was then empty for a number of years before we took it over. So I saw a hole in the calendar. We normally do one night with like a double feature, but as you know, these films are 3 hours long. So I saw three nights in a row, and I was like, oh, we got to do the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And then I was like, well, we do have a Michelin-starred restaurant on the first floor, Deuce Export and Beer. Why don't we do a dinner in the movie theme, have them make some food inspired by the films, serve them, utensil-free as a little bit of a nod to one of our favorite suburban medieval experiences. That's kind of how it came about. I pitched it to everybody. They said I was nuts, and I said, let's go for it.
I kind of like the nutsiness of this whole thing. And I love these ideas of dinner nights themed to something. I was talking about this earlier, that we had done a last night of the Titanic dinner, many, many years ago, and it was a huge success. But Lord of the Rings has such an amazing following. I got to think that a lot of people are going to be, going for this. So what is it? You can either see the movie with or without food, number one. But if you are doing the full package with Lord of the Rings dinner, what is included in that?
So that's included with the dinner, the film, and then we are partnering with a great local new brewery out of Logan Square called Hopewell Brewing. They brewed us a special Prancing Pony ale for this. Prancing Pony is the pub that everybody drinks at in the Shire.
Okay. What is the food that you're going to be serving?
So we'll have a smoked turkey leg, and this is all prepared by Chef Michael Galen, who's our chef in the downstairs restaurant, Dusek.
Oh, yeah. You got to have a turkey leg. Nothing.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Go ahead.
We'll do some potato stew. There's a scene where they're out in the wild, and they've killed a rabbit, but they want to mix it in with something, and so they make some potato stew. And then of course we'll have a lemon spread baguette, and lemon spread is what they pretty much survive on through their entire journey.
Right. Right. Okay. All right. And the ale will be part of it as well.
Exactly.
So tell us when this is going to be going on.
So this is over the course of 3 days. It's March 20th, 21st, and 22nd. So we'll be showing the first film, Fellowship of the Ring, on the first night. The second night is The Two Towers, obviously, and then we'll conclude with Return of the King on the last night.
Now, if you just want to see the movie, it's $5. If you want the movie and the entire dinner package, what is the cost of that?
That'll run you $30.
Oh, that's not a bad deal at all.
Not at all.
No, not a bad deal. We're trying to figure out how we get folks to just, get off the couch, and instead of Netflixing something in their pajamas, we want to provide them with a, cool experience, and so it's sort of a one-of-a-kind thing. So figuring out all the ways to get everybody, off their lazy bums, come out to a historical building and, get in the mindset of the Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, I think these kinds of nights are so much fun. It's at Thalia Hall, which is 1807 South Allport Street in the Pilsen neighborhood.
It's a cool venue. Yeah, I've been there for dinner.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, really cool.
Thalia Hall is great. Mm-hmm. What's the website there, Pete, if people want to get more information?
Yeah, so more information will just be at www.thaliahallchicago.com. And from there, you can actually link to some of the other properties in the building. We have Deuce Export and Beer, which is our restaurant on the first floor. Punch House is our basement cocktail bar. And we also have a piano bar called the Tack Room, which is on our first level as well, too. You can find information on all those spots at that website.
So you can take your precious to any of these little locations.
Pete, nice drop.
Thank you, Pete Faulkner, the general manager of Thalia Hall. Appreciate you joining us. Thanks for the great idea. We love that.
Thanks so much for having us. Hope to see you there.
Thanks very much.
You'll be calling his name. Oh, 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 oh. Dean Richard, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Oh, 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 oh.
So we're not doing a full entertainment segment like we normally do when I'm here with Steve every morning. We're going to do a little more entertainment in the next half hour. But I did want to bring up just one story. You know, everybody's going to see this Black Panther movie. It's on track to be the number one movie again for the third weekend in a row. But listen to this, what one of the stars of the movie, Michael B. Jordan, who plays the, I guess you would call him the villain in the movie, the Killmonger character in the movie. He heard about a young girl who went to see this movie and had a retainer in her mouth when she went to see it. And the little girl tweeted, I think she's like 12 or 13 something. She went to see the movie with a retainer in her mouth, got so excited during some of the high points of the movie that she cracked the retainer.
Oh, my God.
She clenched her, it was, you know, I guess clenching her teeth to the point that she actually broke the retainer. Michael B. Jordan, one of the stars in the movie, hears about this because the girl's plight went viral. He hears about it, and he reaches out to pay for a new retainer.
Oh,
for this young
girl. Nice guy.
Very nice.
It's a very nice story.
Because those aren't cheap, Dean.
How much is a good retainer going for these days?
It's been a few years.
Boy, and good for her for wearing it. I never wore mine. Sat in the nightstand.
You go to a movie, especially, you're eating milk duds.
And I know, and popcorn.
The popcorn, like all retainer unfriendly foods. So Michael B. Jordan is about one of the nicest guys of all the A-listers that I've interviewed.
Yeah,
couldn't be nicer. I mean, really, this whole cast of Black Panther, super nice. Chadwick Boseman, who plays Chala, Black Panther himself. We've interviewed him for all the movies that he's had out so far. Super nice. Michael B. Jordan, Lupita Nyong'o, Forrest Whitaker, go down the list of everybody. Couldn't be very nicer. So there's a lovely story. And on the tooth front this morning, there is a story out that apparently Delta Dental Insurance has done a survey to find out on average, how much the tooth fairy is leaving your kids.
Okay, this blows my mind because I think they're getting a lot of money these days. We got a quarter. I mean, I know this was a long time ago, but if you were really lucky, you got a dollar.
Yeah, well, Delta Dental asked over 1,000 parents what they are giving, what the tooth fairy is giving their kids when a tooth comes out. And apparently the average now is $4.13.
Come on.
Which is down 11% from last year, $4.66.
Really?
But really, is the tooth fairy leaving
change? $4.13?
$4.10, $4.11, $4.12.
I think in some cases they leave gift cards.
Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm. Like Starbucks.
Mm-hmm. Stop it.
Amazon.
You lose a tooth, you get a Starbucks
iTunes.
Gift card.
That makes sense.
I'll pull mine out right now.
But for how much, though? I remember a quarter, maybe a dollar.
Please tell
also.
Me it's no more than $5.
No. However, I happen to know when the Tooth Fairy visits our kids at their mom's house and our house, and by the numbers game, the Tooth Fairy has been at their mom's house more. So sometimes the Tooth Fairy at our house will up the ante just because it doesn't happen that often at our house. Does that make sense?
Right. It's not the same tooth, though,
what's
right?
What's the average drop of money?
Five bucks. Yeah.
$5 a tooth?
Yeah. And now we're getting to where there's not that many teeth left in the mouth. So the tooth fairy feels like they got
to
leave a little bit more because it's
about
almost
to come
over.
To an end.
Right. Yeah. So I you want to go out with a bang.
I would think the tooth fairy would be relieved that the teeth are all
I know the
gone.
Tooth fairy is very stressed out when there is a tooth in the house in the pillow and talking about coming over.
Right.
When it's happening, I think the tooth fairy gets very stressed.
I would think the amount would go down so you could, you know, like to wean them off of the fact.
Right, right.
Instead of like creating a huge expectation.
That's hilarious, though. Gift cards for a tooth.
I think
I think I'll pull mine out right now.
Crazy.
I think the kids in our house know that the tooth fairy has some deep pockets. And so they sometimes throw out. I wonder if I'll get $10 for this tooth.
Oh, wow.
Oh, come on. So they're trying to strong-arm the tooth fairy.
Strong-arm the tooth fairy.
Mm-hmm. Whoa. But do they get the same? So when they lose a tooth, say, at your house, they don't take this? Well, no, because the tooth fairy would
take
the tooth.
Don't double dip. The tooth fairy takes the tooth.
Okay,
yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Whew.
though, you know, if somebody put that in their head, they may think too, but no, the tooth goes away, so they know they can't do that.
Did you hear this gross story about what somebody found in a bag of cashews?
No.
Oh God.
Seriously,
is it teeth?
Somebody, you know, these little packets that you buy at the gas station of cashews, and you know the person's going through the bag eating the cashews and runs into something that's clearly not a cashew, yet sort of looks like one a little bit, and it turns out that somehow
the tooth fairy accidentally left that in the bag of cashews.
Exactly.
Ah.
Enjoy your breakfast, everyone. Woo! That's what I'm here for today. What do we have coming up next? Oh, I wanted to remind everybody about the big show that we're doing on Sunday. My regular Sunday show, we're going to be live at Presidential Towers in the West Loop for the American Lung Association's Fight for Air Climb. We're going to be there with the group Erinmore. You know, Sunday is also the Southside Irish Parade.
That's right. Yeah, we're going to be out there for TV.
And we're going to have the group that sings the song, We're the Southside Irish, my father was before. They're going to be on our show live to perform for us. And also, we have the Mother Macaulay a cappella choir, 25-30 voices.
Beautiful.
They are stunning. We've had them on before, but they're going to come on and sing some Irish songs for us live as well.
Oh, that's cool.
Oh, yeah. This climb is also going to be going on as well.
Yep.
The WGN radio team, headed by Dave Ennett and Patty Vasquez. And who else will be joining us? When I say us, I mean you.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Mary Vandeveld is going to be climbing
nice.
With us. And nice. I think I'm trying to think who some of the regulars are who are there. I know WGN-TV has a team also
that's
going to be out there.
I think our bosses will be there, right? Todd and Stephanie.
Yeah, Todd Manley and Stephanie Menendez are
be there.
Bosses.
That means I have to show up sober then.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Good to know. Good
you.
To know. Yep. So you guys are going to be, do you all four towers, right?
I have the last 3 years. That's my plan.
How long does that take you to do that?
The whole process, I think, start to finish, you're timed while you're actually climbing,
right,
while you're in the stairwell. And my time's been somewhere between 33 and 38 minutes climbing
good.
Time.
That's good.
But when you think about it, you jump on a treadmill for 30 minutes
half an
or
hour.
So. So it's about that. But, and you get time
a
in between.
A little more taxing than
a little bit.
A
you take the stair climb. Elevator down.
Yeah.
You Dean, know, but, and I think there might be refreshments afterwards.
I've heard a rumor about that. I've had games. Mm-hmm. Northwestern has played the day of the stair climb the last couple of years, so I've had to take off. But some of our coworkers, Maureen McDonald sort of coordinates it from
names.
Our sales department, sort of coordinates the whole thing.
They all
the whole
seem
team.
To.
We call it the drunk fest.
They congregate at the place where I'm doing the broadcast. I'm trying to do my, I'm also exerting quite a few calories sitting there broadcasting for two straight hours.
It's a lot.
That is taxing.
Mm-hmm.
But if you like to join Dave, you're more than welcome to do that, Jay and the team. Or you can pledge online at WGNradio.com/events or go to fightforairclimb.org, and we'll see you all out there Sunday morning from 9 until 11. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back and update news next on WGN.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Yeah, man, playing the rock. WGN, where Chicago rocks, man.
Trying to pick up a few disenfranchised loop listeners.
Yeah, man, Sky Richards, rocking Chicago.
8:45. Coming up in a few minutes, we'll hook up with Larry Potash and Robin Baumgarten, and I will do my entertainment segment on both radio and television. Also, coming up in a few minutes, I'm going to give you details on how you can win tickets to an early screening of Tomb Raider, the continuation of Tomb Raider with Alicia Vikander that's going to be opening next Friday. We've got some early screening tickets for that, and I'll give you details on how you can win all of that coming up in a few minutes.
I love the first one. Well, the first movie with Angelina Jolie.
I like those movies.
I thought it was great.
I like those movies. I mean, they're fun. They're exciting. They're you know, kind of innovative.
Does she make an appearance in this one, you think, or no?
Angelina Jolie does not. Okay. Well, I haven't seen it, so I don't know for sure, but I'm pretty sure that if she was making an appearance, we would have heard about that by now.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's very easy for movies like that to become very formula and kind of dull and not that interesting, like some other genres as well. I don't give reviews early, of course, as we all know. But I did see a horror movie last night, scary movie last night, that is so by the books and by the numbers, so routine, so predictable.
Yeah.
Thank goodness the movie was only like an hour and 20 minutes or something.
It's
a super short movie, but it just felt like an eternity sitting there because, you know, I'm all up for a good scary movie, but do something that's different. Do something that's innovative.
You see so many movies. Have you ever walked out or wanted to walk out? Do you remember the last movie?
Oh, I want to walk out all the time.
Right. I know you probably you can't.
Things that are horrible, but I have, you know, I'm critiquing the movie, so I sort of feel that's my responsibility to stay. Yeah. I've only walked out of a movie one time in my entire life.
One time?
And this was way before I was a critic. It was the Andrew Dice Clay movie, Ford Fairlane.
Oh, God.
Ford Fairlane. Do you remember that movie?
Yeah, 80s or 90s?
I remember it.
It might have been the late 80s.
Yeah.
I don't remember exactly.
Oh, God.
But I was sitting there going, this is the dumbest, absolutely the dumbest thing I've ever seen. And I left. And I've seen as dumb or dumber movies since then, taking over from Roy Leonard.
But that was the one time.
And doing the movie. So now, no matter how stupid it is or how awful or how boring or, you know, I've joked many times about how I go to kids' movies to review them. And I'm often the only, parents are there, but I'm the only,
single man
adult who is there by himself without children.
And that's not creepy at all for any of the parents taking their kids.
Mommy, who's that man sitting there by himself?
With the big popcorn. Big gulp.
So there's that. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll join WGN-TV. A51 Dean Richards for Steve Cochran. Yeah, man, rockin' Chicago. WGN, where Chicago rocks. Trying to pick up some Loop listeners, maybe disenfranchised before the big switch.
Love this song.
Yeah. I think you just nailed it.
Reliving that's high school.
And looking forward to going back to just plain old DJing. Brian Adams' music was awesome, wasn't it?
Yeah, I loved it.
Songs like this, but you know, some of his kind of rock ballads also.
Yeah, Please Forgive Me.
Phenomenal. We're going to talk to him coming up in our 9 o'clock hour. He'll be joining us. Brian Adams was on the WGN-TV morning news yesterday with Jerry Mitchell.
And you're on today.
Yes, we are. We are on today. I was just telling everybody about how Brian Adams was on TV with us yesterday. And for those who were watching yesterday, you can hear me ask exactly the same questions when they come here on the radio show after 9 o'clock this morning. So that's coming up in just a bit. Let's get our couple of quick buzz stories in, including the story about rocker Tommy Lee. You would think he is invincible and nothing can hurt him. Turns out that his 21-year-old son can. The 55-year-old rocker was taken to the hospital after he got into a fight with his 21-year-old son. He is the son of Tommy Lee and ex-wife Pamela Anderson. L.A. County Sheriff's officers responded to Lee's home in Calabasas, California on Monday night. Lee says that the son came into his bedroom, assaulted him. Lee posted a now-deleted picture on social media showing him with a bloody lip. Brandon Lee is reportedly cooperating with authorities, but he has not been arrested. Much nicer story about father and daughter in this case, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, thanking paramedics and doctors at UCLA Medical Center for helping his 2-year-old daughter, Jasmine, Johnson called 911 on Saturday night. It's not known what happened to the little girl, but it was serious enough that the paramedics had to take her to the emergency room where she spent the night. Dwayne The Rock Johnson on Twitter says she is now okay and is thanking first responders who helped him with the whole thing. On my Dean's List A-List interview for today, more of the stars of the new Disney fantasy, A Wrinkle in Time, the adventure about kids who go off on a celestial search for their missing father. Oprah's in the movie, Reese Witherspoon, and also our A-List interview subject today, Chris Pine, who says this movie is being pitched about empowering young people to take matters into their own hands, something that reminded him of events in Florida that's in the news.
I thought it was so cool, you know, especially after the awful shooting that happened in Florida. These kids just, I love it. They walked out all over the country. And I've read some headline like teachers threatening to discipline students for walking out. You're like, what effing planet are you on? Discipline you for what?
Right.
There's a shooting in a school. We can talk about algebra later.
Movie A Wrinkle in Time is going to open on Friday. I'll give you the big review on that then. Finally, this morning, WGN TV and radio movie giveaway today. Giving away 5 pair of tickets to the pre-screening of Tomb Raider that stars Alicia Vikander. It's going to be Tuesday, March 13th, 7 p.m. at a theater in the city that will be announced to winners. If you'd like to register to win, just go to WGNTV.com/contest, and we will pick 5 winners at 1 o'clock today. And what do you guys have coming up on the WGN Morning News at 9 o'clock today?
Are you a big fan of Dance Moms, Dean, like I am?
Who isn't?
JoJo is going to be on, you know, JoJo with the bow in her hair. She is going to be on coming up at 9 o'clock. It's huge, big, huge. She's like a YouTube star. It's like 400 million views for like, a video she did.
Yeah,
you know?
I don't think
14.
I've never seen it, but I know people are super into it and talk about it all the time. It's coming up on the WGN TV Morning News after 9 o'clock. Guys, we'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks,
Dean. Thanks, Dean.
All right, guys, it's 8:55 here on WGN Radio. And coming up, as I had mentioned, Dave, why do I keep calling him Dave? Brian Adams. Brian Adams.
We get mistaken for each other.
Dave, Brian Adams.
That rock star Dave Ennett is going to be singing for us. Brian Adams is going to be here. He's he's actually in the process still of writing the music for this new musical, Pretty Woman the Musical, that is directed by Jerry Mitchell, who's a very big deal. He's a Tony Award winner. Mm-hmm. Directed Kinky Boots.
Oh, I love Kinky Boots.
With that Cyndi Lauper was in and Harvey Weinstein was in. He is director of On Your Feet, the Gloria Estefan musical.
Another good one.
It's behind some of the biggest shows that have been on Broadway over the last 10 years or so. And kind of a local guy. He's from Paw Paw, Michigan.
Cool.
You know where Paw Paw, Michigan?
I've heard of Paw Paw, Michigan.
The Paw Paw, I used to go to Paw Paw all the time to cut down fresh Christmas trees.
Did you really?
You go, they have a lot of Christmas tree farms there, and you go there and you saw down your own tree. And back in the day, I used to take my nieces and nephews there and have a fun day with Uncle Dean.
Very cool.
I almost always remembered to bring all the kids home with me.
Yeah, right.
Almost
one,
always
two,
worked
three,
that way.
Yep, they're here.
I have a Brian Adams story. You know the year the song came out, All for One, you know, that love ballad
it
of his.
All for One, yeah. I mean, I don't sing like he does. But.
So whatever year that was.
Very close, though.
I was 15.
No kidding.
And my dad's younger sister, who's only like 8 or 9 years older than me, got married. And I ended up being her default maid of honor because she got in a fight with her maid of honor right before the wedding.
Wow.
And so at that family wedding, my grandpa started giving me screwdrivers, vodka and orange juice.
Oh.
And my dad's youngest brother, who's like also 8 or 9 years older than me, his friend, his name is Pat, and I had a big crush on him. And
you have a thing for Pat.
I had been drinking for the first time in my life, screwdrivers all night. I'm wearing my velvet dress with an orange bottom, you know, very,
very
whatever.
Very 90s.
90s, yeah. And that song came on, and I insisted he dance with me.
Oh, boy. This is about to
you
get ugly.
You need to tell Bryan Adams this story.
And I thought I was, like, in heaven, and I'm so drunk.
I'm in heaven.
There's a tie-in.
I'm 15, and I'm hanging on this 23-year-old or 24-year-old hammered girl. It was really inappropriate. So, and I was falling out of the dress for some, because I think I, by the time my fitting and whatever, I had maybe developed a little bit more. So the top, like, and I was very, everyone kept commenting, my older uncles and things, like, Mary, what's going on with the
and
dress?
She's drunk.
You know, I know. And I was drunk
this is
and
a beautiful
hanging
story.
On.
Again, you need to tell this to Bryan Adams.
This is a beautiful Courier and Ives story.
Bryan, I got drunk to the first time and danced to your song.
Fell out of my dress while I was doing it.
And then later they played a little bit more heavy metal where I was whipping my head around on the dance floor. And the next morning I woke up and I couldn't turn my neck. I had danced so hard. So
yeah, man. Where Chicago rocks. WGN.
Oh, that's awesome.
Okay, so when Bryan Adams gets here.
Don't tell him that.
Let's not tell him that story. I hope he's not in the green room right now. He may be. Let's do this, because they want to talk about the musical when they get here.
Because that's so cool that he's writing all the music.
It's very cool. Yeah. It's a very interesting. The whole process is very interesting. But what we should do is just nonchalantly work in Bryan Adams song titles into the conversation.
Yes. Like, please forgive me, but can we talk about blank, 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 blank.
Yeah. Or just like what Mary did. You know, or wow, this musical must be heaven.
Right, right. Or something like, was that in the summer of 69?
Yeah, you get it. You get it. So listen for that. It's coming up after the news next on WGN.
Joe played a band called Trampled for Turtles. Turtles for Trampling. What is it called?
Trampled by Turtles.
Trampled by Turtles.
Turtles for Trampling.
Heroes in a half shell. Turtle power.
Jeez.
Yeah. Come on down the mountain. Come on.
Oh, Lisa, stop pining for your saxophone. I got you another instrument.
What is jug?
Have yourself some vittles. I'll have some, too.
The girl that
Let's go kill a squirrel. We'll make us some stew.
Lisa, never, ever stop in the middle of a hoedown.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
I don't want to brag. I'm saying we've kept the intellectual level of the Steve Cochran Show exactly where Steve keeps it every single day.
I thought we took it to a whole new level.
Maybe, yeah, it's very possible.
Yeah.
Welcome. It's Dean Richards filling in for Steve Cochran today, and welcome to our CLTV viewers who are also watching today. As you can see on the other side of our table, looking remarkably like Dave Ennett, the great Bryan Adams.
Well, thanks very much for that.
We've loved your
high
music.
Compliment.
We've loved your music career, and tell us about your musical.
It's called Pretty Woman.
Da-na-na-na-na.
Wrong Pretty Woman.
Oh.
Yeah. Bryan Adams clearly is not here yet.
Okay, now you gave it away.
Can I?
We're getting the. This is a famous thing that you get from the PR people.
5 minutes away.
We're in transit.
Yeah.
Those are words you never want to hear from a PR person when you're doing a live radio or TV show. Yeah, we're in transit.
You think we should go around the room and tell our favorite Bryan Adams song?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, that's
let's tell our favorite Don Adams stories.
Right? But you say Dave was confused with Bryan Adams. Yesterday, Anna Balaval said that Anna says he looks exactly like a very famous Spanish soap opera star.
Now, who would know that besides Anna?
I don't know. And we don't know who it is.
It's a very handsome. And
that's what she said. Right?
They're all
debonair,
very handsome.
Dashing.
Spanish soap opera stars.
Right.
All very debonair.
They all have roses in their mouths, too, don't they, all the time?
That's right.
They do.
Do a lot of slapping.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing because we've got a little bit of other theater news to cover while we're waiting for our guests who are in transit.
Yes.
Right now. They just announced when Dear Evan Hansen is going to be in Chicago. The word was just released a few minutes ago on this.
Oh, yes.
This is a big deal. I mean, this is the Tony Award-winning musical that's been, it's been the hit of Broadway for the past year and a half, couple of years, and is coming to the Chicago area. Just announced February 12th through March 10th of next year. Got to wait just about a full year for this, but it's going to be February 12th through March 10th of next year. But Tickets are going to go on sale for that on March 28th of this year.
Oh, a couple weeks.
So pretty soon, tickets are going to be going on sale for this.
Cool.
So if you're a theater fan, you certainly know what Dear Evan Hansen is. You'll want to get that. So you are very definitely hearing that first right here this morning.
That's awesome. Did you saw it in New York, Dean?
I did.
And you loved it?
It's amazing. And part of my it's great. I mean, the story is amazing. The performances are great. But did you see Book of Mormon when it was here?
I did.
And one of the supporting players in Book of Mormon when it was here is Ben Platt.
Yes.
Who is the star of Dear Evan Hansen.
Right.
So, I mean, he's been in the Pitch Perfect movies.
Yeah.
I've sort of been following his career. And I don't want to say we became friends when we were here. We had him on the show several times. And he's a very, very, very nice guy. So I was so happy for his success. That's part of the reason I think that I love Dear Evan Hansen. He's not in it anymore. He was originated the role there.
That's what I was going to ask you. Do you think he might make an appearance?
I do not
here.
Think that's okay. going to happen at all. No, but I think that the show is still so worthy that if you're a musical theater fan, you're definitely going to want to check that out. Also, just by the way of correction, in the last half hour, I was talking about one of our guests who are in transit
yes.
right now.
I think they might be here.
I did see a big limo-looking car pull up. But I'm going to milk this for as long as I can.
Okay.
Our guests who are in transit
yes.
right now. Brian Adams, who's going to be here in a second. But I was talking about Jerry Mitchell, who's the director of this Pretty Woman, the musical.
Mm-hmm.
And I was talking about some of his past credits. Like On Your Feet and Kinky Boots and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Mm-hmm.
But I mentioned Kinky Boots and I said that Cyndi Lauper was in it. And apparently when I said it 20 minutes ago, I said that it also starred. What I said was that it also starred Harvey Weinstein. And what I meant was,
we know who you meant.
I meant Harvey Firestein.
Yes.
Because Harvey Weinstein would have taken it to a whole different kinky level.
Exactly right.
That would have really made the boots kinky.
Oh, no kidding.
If that had been the case.
Yeah, just a simple little mistake.
It was good
musical, though.
yes, it was.
Yeah.
So let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll talk to our guests who are no longer
Excellent.
In transit.
Woo, they're here.
They're no longer in transit, but actually here in studio with us. We're going to get them set up in studio. Don't pretend like you've been sitting here all the time. I've been here for 20 minutes. Right. Why haven't you put me on? We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Jerry Mitchell and Brian Adams here with us from Pretty Woman, the musical.
So what happened after? He climbed up the tower and rescued her.
She rescues him right back.
I've been saying this for a couple of days now, since we've been talking about having these guests on today, that the original Pretty Woman movie, directed by the great Gary Marshall, Northwestern alum, is one of the great romantic comedies of all time. It's one of these movies. People ask all the time, what are my favorite movies of all time? And Pretty Woman would definitely fall into that category. If you see it playing someplace, you stop and rewatch it, even though you've seen it 100 times before. Now it's being made into a stage musical that is directed by Tony Award winner Jerry Mitchell, who you know from Kinky Boots fame, and On Your Feet, the Gloria Estefan musical, and the TV production, the choreographer from the TV production of Hairspray Live and Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, and the list goes on and on of Jerry's credits, but also with music and lyrics provided by a true rock legend. I don't think that's too much of an overstatement to say of Brian Adams, and both are here with us today. Guys, welcome. Nice to have you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
With us today.
Thank you.
I'm just going to start with you, Jerry, because you love bringing your shows. This is going to world premiere here in Chicago before it goes to Broadway.
Yeah.
You love bringing your shows here to Chicago first before you take them to Broadway.
I do. I love Chicago for a lot of reasons. The audience is smart. You know, I often say that the audience. But another reason I love Chicago, I have to say, is the crew, the backstage the local crew that is in Chicago, both at the Old Schubert Theater and at the Oriental Theater, which is the places where I have tried my out-of-town shows. The men and women who work backstage at those theaters are exceptional craftsmen. And when you're creating something new, you need people in the building who get it, who understand the speed and pace at which you're making changes.
Right.
So every night, you know, what people don't understand is they come to see the show here, but every day the cast is working to make changes, and then we implement those changes every evening to continue to develop the show in preparation for a Broadway opening.
Yeah, now the show's not going to open here in Chicago until...
The 28th, I think.
Right.
We start previews...
On the 13th.
Yes, next week.
So you were just telling us during the break a minute ago that you guys were working till like
last night. We wrapped at 11:30,
wow,
and then had a little tech meeting afterwards. We'll start today with everyone. Well, the crew's already there. They start at 8 a.m. And then the cast comes in at 1. Today we add the orchestra for the very first time, which is thrilling.
Oh.
And then
enter Mr. Brian Adams into the story.
We start
now
start the second act.
It's very exciting. The band arrives today, so we've got to take it to another level now.
Well, the band has been practicing, but this is the first time we integrate them with the cast on stage.
Bring
with
it all
the sound
together. Wow.
All in the
cool
theater. Yeah.
That's got to be kind of a magical moment.
The whole thing's magical. I mean, I've been sitting here with Jim Vallance, my co-writer, and Jerry in little rooms. And we first started in Chicago, to be honest, 2 years ago with Gary Marshall. We sat in the Public Hotel, and for a week here, we sort of brainstormed and workshopped the ideas of how we were going to take this idea, this book that J.F. Lawton had written, and Gary Marshall, and how we were going to make this into a musical. Now, I have no experience in this at all. I'm just a rocker from Canada, but I do
just
have
a rocker just from Canada.
Just a rock star. Right.
But I was open to the idea of, you know, seeing what I could, you know, I could lend my music to this, and was very excited about the opportunity. And we sat with Jerry every day, and it was so interesting to be able to go, okay, this is what we need here. And I go, well, let's go and come back in a couple hours. And we would do that. And every day we would bring back ideas, and Jerry would give us feedback. And in that week, we sort of assembled a couple of really good things, which was sort of the foundation of what is now the musical here, which we're about to present here in Chicago.
Is that a little weird for you? Because normally, you're the final say, right? For your albums and what we know you for. you write a
Brian
song and go, that's pretty much where I want it to be. You don't have somebody else breathing over your shoulder going, back and work some more. I want it better.
Yes and no. I mean, when you're working on an album, usually in the past, I've hired a producer to kick my butt. Because not that I needed it, but it's interesting to see what someone else will push you to do. And I worked with the great Mutt Lang, for example, for many years, and he got vocal performances out of me that nobody has ever been able to get since. It's not because I'm lazy, it's just that he was able to push me, try this. So Jerry's the same way. He's making me rethink the songs and add to the songs to help the story, because we need to tell a story here. It's very important that each song, you know, moves the story along to the next one, to the next vignette of the script scene.
Yeah, right.
So, you know,
and I'm not alone in that. I mean, we have an amazing musical director, Will Van Dyke, who I worked with on Kinky Boots under Stephen Arimus, and Will has been in the theater for a long time. And so as a musical director of musicals, he's able to help Brian and Jim also. And so we're a real team. And, you know, the idea of writing a song, you know, in a film, someone's in a close-up and you get so much emotion just from their face without a word, without anything. That's often a place to look at in a film of, does that moment sing? Does that moment warrant singing on stage?
Yeah.
Because you can't get that close to the face on stage.
Right.
So often those moments become moments for the characters to tell you something they're feeling.
Yeah, often that can be so cumbersome, right?
Yeah.
When you're trying to tell a story and then suddenly a song drops like an anvil in the middle of a show, that it has to be done so carefully.
And the characters in a movie, you know, I get offered a lot of movies to turn into musicals, but the characters in the movie have to be larger than life to me and vulnerable characters, and that's certainly Vivian and Edward's story.
That's what he likes about me.
Vulnerable kid.
Larger than life and vulnerable.
Yeah. Right. No. Put those headphones on for a quick second here as we say hello to Joe from Homewood. Hi, you're on WGN, Joe.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Good to hear you.
Hey, Joe.
One of the best lines in Pretty Woman is when Julia Roberts tells Richard Gere in the elevator, it says, in case I forgot to tell you, I had a great time tonight. That is just an awesome line.
Yeah, we agree.
Can you
hear it, Jerry?
I can hear you now.
Yeah.
Just repeat your favorite, Joe. Just repeat your favorite line because Jerry wasn't hooked up.
One of the best lines in Pretty Woman is when Julia Roberts tells Richard Gere in the elevator and says, "In case I forgot to tell you, I had a great time tonight." That's just a classic line.
Well, you're gonna hear it in the musical.
That's going
to. I want to find out.
In Robin Hood too, man.
Thanks for the call, Joe. I appreciate it.
The same line was in Robin Hood. No wonder it was a hit.
Hey, you're stealing lines like crazy that. It's not bound to work. I want to find out what from the movie people will recognize and how much of the original story we're going to see when Pretty Woman the musical opens at the Oriental Theater here in Chicago. We have Brian Adams in studio with us. We have Jerry Mitchell with us. We'll be right back. And our phone line, 312-981-7200, WGN.
Love a woman, to understand her, you gotta know her deep inside.
941, 720 WGN. I almost hate to interrupt this dreamy moment that we're having.
I didn't know that.
When you find yourself lying,
Brian Adams is here with us this morning, along with Jerry Mitchell, the director of the new musical that is about to world premiere at the Oriental Theater in Chicago. Andrea holding up her iPhone with a cigarette
lighter.
With a cigarette lighter.
Remember those days?
Yes. Very nice. These are classics. I mean,
thank you.
How aware are you that your songs are like some of the greatest songs of all time?
That's so kind of you to say. I have no idea what you're saying, but I mean, I really appreciate it.
My God. Every prom theme throughout the Chicagoland area.
That's
I can
so
say.
Nice. I mean,
it's
listen,
so true.
And when you're on tour, I think you are, right?
I'm always on tour.
Yeah, I have a feeling that never stops for guys
musician.
Like you. Yeah. I mean, these are the songs, like if you didn't do these songs in concert, people would go nuts.
There'd be rebellion.
Yeah.
It'd be a coup.
There'd be anarchy and rebellion.
Which ones get the most response?
All the ones that you play.
All the classics.
Yeah. I mean, what's that? That's the whole point of going out anyway. You go out to play all the music that people want to hear, and that's actually a pleasure for me. I remember having to look down at my set list when I was in my early 20s and going, oh, what am I going to do next? And now I look down at my set list and go, so looking forward to that one.
Yeah.
You know, because I just know the reaction is going to be good.
Yeah.
I saw that reaction at a concert of his, and I thought, these love songs, these people, mm-hmm. and now they're going to get some new love songs in Pretty Woman.
Yeah.
It's just a perfect match.
And I have to think that this is part of the reason why you wanted Brian and his longtime songwriting partner, Jim Vallance, to
it was the
be part of this.
It was
right?
The original instinct, but the instinct paid off big time.
So
I mean, the love songs in the show...
Well, You say that, but we haven't gone live yet.
I know.
easy to say right now. Right?
What they do fit is they fit the characters and they fit the story.
Yeah.
And so I think there's great promise in what they've written in these love songs in the show. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, Brian, how would
and
you...
And the rockers.
Yeah, well,
Chicago's very own.
I was wondering how you describe the music that you've written for Pretty Woman the musical.
Well, it's kind of like... one of my albums. It's a mixture of up-tempo and then some sort of more mid-tempo and a couple of slow ones. That's what I do all the time.
Is it easier writing for a musical, say? Because you have a little bit of the background already there?
Well, the thing about writing for a musical, and particularly this one, is I've got a great director to work with who's been guiding us all the way along and sort of helping us with, you know, what we need to say. And so that's been very, very instructive and constructive. And with an album, you sit there with a blank piece of paper and, okay, we have to come up with something. You know, with a musical, you've got a storyline already.
Very cool.
Jerry, what will we recognize from the movie in this new stage musical that's about to go up?
You'll recognize a couple of the costumes, the iconic costumes that I think are in the Museum of Film in Los Angeles. You'll recognize some of the lines. I hope you'll recognize the love. Yeah. I mean, most importantly, the Cinderella story and the character of Vivian, and what I always thought from the original Gary Marshall film, and what Gary believed also, was that she was an incredibly strong woman mm-hmm. who doesn't settle. She does not settle. She says she wants the fairy tale, and we've enhanced that in this production, I think, which has made it a very positive role model for girls.
Yeah. What was it like when you originally brought this idea to Gary Marshall?
Gary was already Paula Wagner was basically the glue. Paula Wagner, the great producer, brought Gary and JF together. JF had done the film and was on to other things. Gary, of course, was on to other things. Gary always wanted to do it as a musical. So she brought JF and Gary together, and then I was able to pitch this idea of, my belief is that musicals that are made from movies, the thing that brings them to the stage and makes them electric is a brand new score. Mm. And I wanted a new score with new composers. And Gary got on board and loved that idea. And that's how we worked together for a year. Gary was here with us all the way through the first final draft.
He was here in Chicago with us.
We did two readings in New York. Gary was there and he was thrilled.
I'm just trying to imagine, because you're kind of low key, comparatively speaking. Brian is kind of low key, and this Brooklyn hurricane of Gary Marshall, God bless him and rest his soul. He was a life force unto his own, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Oh God, yeah.
Oh yeah. I remember when we were in L.A. one time. He's going, "Hey Brian, listen, I need an up tempo song for my new movie." I said, "Well, I got one for you," and I played him a song. He goes, "I love it. I love this song. I haven't got any money though."
That's Gary.
That's how he reels you in. Yeah.
That's Gary.
I said, "All right, you can have it."
Yeah, we've talked to him so many times through the years, and it's like a hurricane went through the room.
Fantastic.
Whenever Gary was here,
so electrifying. And you know what? I so wish he was here at this moment right now with us. Don't you?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Well, I kind of feel like he is. Really,
he is. Mm-hmm. He's in every line, every moment of the show.
Susan from Princeton, Illinois, you are on WGN. Hello.
Good morning, Susan.
Hello. How are you this morning?
Good morning.
Thank you for taking my call. I'm wondering, Brian, do you have, at this stage of the production, do you have a favorite song from this musical?
Well, I only have what I had in my head last night, which was watching the sort of finale. And I can't tell you what it is, unfortunately. But there are a lot of moments, to be honest. There's 23 songs in this production.
Oh, wow.
So far.
And out of that 23, we wrote about 35. So this is, it's very hard to sort of choose one more than another. But, I think as a body of work, it stands on its own. So I'll just say that. How's that, Sue?
That's incredible. And from your own incredible catalog of music, is it possible for you to have a favorite of your own?
Well, I always like the new stuff I'm doing. Like we were just talking about the set lists from the, what songs. So, I sort of go with what everybody else likes. You like that song? I like that song, too. You like that song? I love that song.
Well, I like a lot of your songs, so keep writing.
Thank you, Susan.
I've always been fascinated how artists can go on stage night after night after night. I can't even imagine how many times you must have sung Summer of 69 or Heaven, or go down the list of hits, and how you keep it.
Well, I don't have to sing them anymore. This audience sings them for me.
Well, yeah, is that right. It?
He heard us before he went.
I wonder how you just keep it creatively motivating
just
for yourself.
Fun. Just have fun with it, because the people want to sing. They come for those songs. Yeah. So it's like, just turn the microphone on and let them have it.
Yeah.
Is it cool to see a whole new generation? I mean, our generation, and then, our kids, and, my goddaughter's in her 20s. She loves your songs.
There's people coming in from all ages, yeah.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah. More with Brian Adams and Jerry Mitchell. Their latest project is Pretty Woman, the musical that will premiere at the Oriental Theater in Chicago before it goes to Broadway. It'll start in previews here March 13th. It'll close on April the 15th. We'll tell you how to get tickets in just a couple of minutes here.
Does it look okay?
Something's missing.
Well, nothing else is going to fit into this dress, I'll tell you that.
Maybe something in this box. I don't want you to get too excited. It's only on loan.
Could watch this movie every single day if I saw it on one of the great romantic comedies of all time. Pretty Woman, now about to become a musical. We're going to see it here in Chicago before it goes to Broadway. The Oriental Theater, starting on March the 13th, being brought to us by two-time Tony Award winner Jerry Mitchell, music by Brian Adams and Jim Vallance. And now, this is such an interesting stage that you were talking about, where like all of your visualizations for this are coming together with the music, and now like it's all coming together on stage right now. So are you in panic?
Big pressure for Jerry.
Are you in panic mode right now?
No.
Really, should you be here? Shouldn't you be?
No, I have, first of all, I have an incredible team, incredible design team. David Rockwell, Greg Barnes, Josh Marquette's doing the wigs. Philip Rosenberg and Kenny Posner are doing the lights. It's just an incredible support team that I've been down this road many times before on other musicals, Kinky Boots, Legally Blonde, to mention a few. So I feel completely supported. Paula Wagner in 101 Productions, which is the general managers, they're just there to make it all easy for me, and they do. So, you know, it's just what I do. It's what I do. Yeah. So, and I love doing it, so I'd never feel... It's not that I feel pressure or don't feel pressure. I feel like I'm here to do a job, and Chicago gives me the opportunity to do that job, being here in this town.
Yeah.
I'm not looking at opening night here. I'm not looking at the first performance. I'm actually looking at the last performance, the show I leave town with. Mm. That's when my work will be, that's when I'll be satisfied.
The show will be constantly evolving and changing, won't it, while it's here and until, once it opens in New York, it'll
When we started Kinky Boots here, I put in 70 new pages and a new song from Cyndi Lauper during the run in Chicago. On Your Feet with Gloria and Emilio Estefan, there was a bus crash in the first scene and the last scene. I took the bus crash out of the first act. I took two doctor scenes out of the first act. I completely reshaped the show as we went along. So that's the process here. And the shows were good on the first performance, but they were better on the last performance.
Yeah. And they're great. Never, ever would you sit through a performance of one of your musicals and say, "Oh wait, what time it is? Are you kidding me?"
That's very important.
You know, when we get these pre-Broadway runs that come through Chicago, I always find it so interesting. And what really sticks in my mind is when Mel Brooks brought the producers here before it went to Broadway, and the director of that, Susan Stroman. I must have seen that 10 times while I was here in Chicago. Just I loved it so much, but I was also fascinated by the process that you're just talking about.
Yeah.
How she, I would see her somewhere in the theater because she's very distinctive looking, so you could find her quite easily. I was watching her instead of the show, taking notes and things that she was noticing, and obviously things that were going to change the next day or over the next couple of days. It's a fascinating process that you're in right now.
It's the best part of the show for me because, you know, Steve Kazee, who's playing Edward, Tony Award winner for Once, and Samantha Barks, who's playing Vivian. I mean, they're smart, fantastic actors. So the process in being in front of an audience, their performance is going to grow and be shaped by the responses they get and what they're feeling from working with the audience, which I always say is their final scene partner.
Yeah.
And I'm there to observe it and help them get where they need to get to.
Yeah, so Brian, does he just have you backstage, you know, standing by to write a new song?
Sort of.
You know, and throw it in? That's all right. I see. I imagine you and Jim backstage, and Jerry comes to you and says, We're adding a song. I need a song.
That hasn't happened yet.
Well, just before we left New York, I put a bug in their ear about adding a little section in the Act One finale. And I haven't heard anything yet, but I know they're working about it and thinking about it. And that's the process. That's the process. You know, you get the closer you get, the more ideas you get to continue to make it better.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it will open here on March the 13th in previews, and then we'll close here on April the 15th. When do you open on Broadway?
August 16th. I think we start previews in July, end of July, but yeah, we open August 16th, 1 day and 16 years to the day of the opening of Hairspray. That's why I chose it.
Wow, how about that? Well, it's going to be a big night for you, I know, Jerry, because here's a text that's come in that said, so proud of Jerry Mitchell, Barb from Paw Paw, Michigan, which is your hometown, right?
Yes, it is.
How many people from family from Paw Paw coming?
63. I think the count's up to 63.
For the whole balcony at the theater.
Good luck anybody else getting a ticket for that opening night.
I got about 15 people come in on opening night from all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
So apparently no one listening is going to be able to go see the show, unfortunately.
There's a lot of seats at the Oriental Theater.
We've got room
for everybody.
It's Pretty Woman the Musical, and it's at the Oriental Theater on Randolph Street in Chicago. And if you want to get tickets, BroadwayInChicago.com or 800-775-2000. Jerry Mitchell, Brian Adams, thank you guys so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me. Real pleasure.
Enjoy Bill it. And Wendy standing by. They're coming up next on WGN.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
All right, that's going to wind it up for me today. I'll see you tomorrow morning. I'm back in my regular slot doing entertainment just after 8 o'clock. Who's filling in tomorrow
Justin
Kaufman will be in, then I believe Steve back from his tragic Botox accident will be back here on Friday, and of course back on the WGN TV morning news. That's pretty cool to walk into the studio and Brian Adams is
here. Very cool,
right?
Yeah,
especially with the demise of the Loop radio station.
Yeah,
I'm very weepy lately.
WGN's rocking Chicago now, man.
You won a bunch of the Loop listeners over, I believe, Dean. You did everything you could to do that.
We have several people in torn black t-shirts that come in front of the window here.
Although, you know what may have scared them off was your story about being the only grown adult in a kid's movie theater. I think that might. But the weird part is, and you didn't tell this on the air, is that you're always dressed in just a robe. I think that's the part that needed to be said.
I like to be comfortable when I watch a movie.
Yeah, I guess.
You watch a movie the way you want.
That's true. All right.
I'll watch the way that I want. I am wearing stuff under the robe as far as you know.
All right. All right.
Bill and Wendy are here. What do you all have coming up here? Oh, I know. You're keeping the rock alive.
Yeah, baby.
Yes, we are.
We're going to do the cruise with AJ Croce later on. Jim Croce's son, who is a tremendous musician in his own right, new record out, does some of his dad's stuff, and we will be talking to him later on.
We had a pry Jim Croce memories out of Andrea this morning. Yeah,
pry them out. Why?
She was claiming that she didn't know who Jim
Croce was. And I gave her some hints. I gave her some.
What was this song, Dean?
Operator.
I could take time in a bottle.
Bad Leroy Brown.
Was it Hit Factory? Was he not?
No, Bad Leroy Brown.
Don't mess around with Jim.
You don't mess
I did mess around with Jim, though.
Wendy did mess around with Jim.
I married him.
Two kids later.
That's it. You done? It was a pleasure to see you.
I have absolutely nothing else.
That's my new thing.
I actually ran out of the tickets. Honestly, around 8:10, I really had nothing else.
Well, way to stretch it.
Got to do what you got to do.
Yep.
He's a pro.
Thank you, Dean.
Thank you, guys. Job well done.
And you're on with us tomorrow?
I am.
Okay, good.
I am.
We're going to review the new
new Oprah movie, Wrinkle in Time.
Oh.
And there's three other movies that I'll review tomorrow as well.
Looking forward to that.
Darn it, we're out of time. I wanted to ask him something, but I'll save it for tomorrow when
you're
on with
us. About the Oprah movie?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
Kind of, sort of.
I have to think about my review with this because it's not going to be pleasant.
Oh, really?
No.
All right. I just want to know if you would have been bothered if you were in a movie theater and all of a sudden Jimmy Kimmel and Wonder Woman came in. See, that's what I thought.
Yes. You know what? I went to a movie last night, another movie that's opening this weekend, and I was sitting there before it started, and I said, what if Jimmy Kimmel walked in here right now and interrupted us? I just want to see this movie and go home.
And mayhem ensued, so I don't know how they got back to the movie after that.
But, Dean, you have to tell the usher, if Jimmy Kimmel and Margot Robbie and famous people come in, Mark Hamill, please. I'm trying to enjoy a film.
I am not interested in your Twizzlers or the candy you may have.
I don't know. The hot dog cannon was pretty cool.
Who would want Gail Gadot handing out milk duds?
No. Come on. Who would want that?
This edition of WGN's 10:05 news.
Oh, I know. Steve is looking angry right now, so I better throw it to him. Thank you, Dean.
See ya.